Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Seth, the TV is on the replay of the Mets and the Phillies last night, and I had forgotten about this, and maybe I should be looking at this baseball playoffs through a more positive, benevolent prism in that, you know, the Astros are no longer in them. Ryan Stanek, old friend, closed out the game last night for the Mets. That was nice
Yay!
To see. I like Ryan
Stanek. Good job, Ryan Stanek.
I like his flowing locks. I like his biker look, even though his voice doesn't come close to matching he looks like.
We were really upset to find out that he was just a Berkeley nerd and not a river rat. From Missouri or whatever. Yeah, I thought I would like. Well, the first time he spoke, I wanted to hear me some Colby, you know. And I mean, we didn't.
If we could take Clint Sterner's voice and put it in Ryan Stanek's body, that would be something right there. Because that would.
It's kind of like when you think you see a hardcore biker dude, and then you realize that that's a dentist logo on the back of his leather jacket.
And he's quoting Chaucer. And
this guy's not scary at all. Yeah.
but maybe
this guy's never sold meth to anybody in the bathroom.
Right. So maybe I should be looking at it through that prism. Like, who are our old friends that are still playing baseball right now? Because Yuli is a Kansas City Royal. Yeah. I root for Yuli unconditionally, almost.
If only the Astros had ever had the assets to go out and get a Yuli Gurriel. I mean, just I don't know how much they had. How much did they give up to give him? Did they give him like three? What'd they give up?
He was in the minors.
Seven top prospects.
He was in the minors this year for most of the year, and here he is playing in the postseason, man. How you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm good. I'm actually, last week I had a hard time moving on to the Bills. This week, I feel like I'm ready. I'm on to New England. Maybe it's because D'Amico said it in his press conference.
He said, once a great coach said,
on to New England, which is ironic because that was the one place that Bill Belichick never said he was on to.
Not yet.
So unless, maybe in Cleveland once. I don't know if you used to say that back in Cleveland or what have you.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about this week. Just as Stefon Diggs last week, obviously, and going against an old opponent, you're always going to be extra motivated versus your old opponent. Mm-hmm. Whether there was drama or not, you just are.
Mm-hmm.
This is Nick Caserio's week to be extra motivated versus a coach in Gerard Mayo who, when you hear what people say about him, might as well be D'Amico Ryan.
You thought the same thing I did. Did you see Nick was describing Gerard? You may have seen the exact same footage. Nick on with John Harris and... Yeah. And Mark Vandermeer, and I was watching that on YouTube last night, and I'm going, and I was surprised Nick didn't point that out either when he was going through Gerard there, and he was kind of listing all the accolades for Gerard and what he noticed of him when he was a player, and he was a captain of the team, and he had success early on, like literally everything he's saying about Gerard from the playing career, even D'Amico's playing career kind of mirrors that. Gerard Mayo, I think, was an All-Pro, if not a Pro Bowler, early in his career, just like D'Amico. Then injuries,
Captain as a rookie. Yeah. All those things. The only one difference was that Gerard Mayo spent 1 year working in private business.
Yeah.
Versus, which maybe D'Amico did too. I don't think he did. But
I think D'Amico was dipping his toe in radio water here for a little while.
That's right. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
So they both went and did something else for a little bit, whether it's private business or radio or whatever. But very, very... very similar career paths. I would say the only difference is Gerard Mayo's entirety of his NFL career has been in that New England bubble, whereas D'Amico stepped out, went to San Francisco, picked up a few new tricks in San Francisco, and then came back here to Houston. But both of them are coaching the teams that they established themselves as players with. I thought the same thing, man. I'm like, dude, you are describing D'Amico right now.
We've actually here's Nick Caserio on the GM show talking about Gerard Mayo. Tell me if you could just put D'Amico's name in every single one of these quotes.
Yeah, when Gerard came in as a rookie, I mean, he kind of earned his stripes right from the get-go. I mean, very few players, I don't want to say it doesn't happen, but the fact that he was a captain on a rookie team or as a rookie on that team.
Yeah.
speaks to his leadership. So Jerod was a very smart player at Tennessee, and then when he showed up, he was a good football player in the SEC, and then his leadership and his production really stood out. And he has a way of connecting with a lot of people, so you saw that as a player. At the end of his career, he had to deal with some injuries, and he kind of started to transition out. He spent some time in private business before he transitioned back, but he kind of started at the lowest level, came in as a quality control coach. Nothing was, you know, he had to earn everything. Yep. Nothing was guaranteed, and he put a lot of work behind the scenes. And anytime that you're replacing somebody the caliber of Coach Belichick, it's never an easy situation. Right. But I think the important thing is he's kind of handled it and put his spin on the program and doing the things that he thinks are important, making it his program. And you're starting to see that in terms of how they play. But Jerod's a really smart, smart individual, really good person, good football player, and he's going to be a good head coach. He is a good head coach.
Okay. Basically, swap out DeMeco for Jerod, Tennessee for Alabama. You can keep the SEC. The captain is a rookie part. That's all the same. The biggest difference was that DeMeco is replacing David Culley and Lovie Smith,
yeah.
whereas Jerod Mayo is replacing a guy who won five Super Bowls.
Right.
Excuse me, six.
Six. Jerod has to fill gigantic shoes. DeMeco is filling like tiny toddler like sneaker shoes, like Nikes.
With Lovie, I feel bad. I always feel bad because like obviously Lovie was in a situation that was what it was.
Yeah.
They're old man slippers, okay?
Okay, fair enough.
I bet when DeMeco showed up, Lovie's slippers were sitting right underneath the desk with a nice note. Like, hey, these brought me comfort in those late nights breaking down film.
D'Amico's like, my feet are way too big for these. Yeah, get these out of here.
I've already filled your slippers, old man.
It took two seconds.
Get out of here.
Yeah, It's more of a commentary, particularly with Lovie, it's more of a commentary on where the team was, more so than his chops as a coach. But I thought the same thing as I was thinking that. I'm like, man, he is describing DeMeco Ryans right now. So that makes for a fun coaching matchup, at least. This was not thought to be a game that's going to be one of the closer games this weekend on Sunday night. And I would imagine, I got to go check, Drake May is going to start at quarterback for the Patriots. That was confirmed yesterday. So the Texans will be getting the third overall pick in his first career start at quarterback for the New England Patriots. The game was a 7-point spread on Sunday. I got to go look and see. If you were an odds maker, Seth, and that news came out, would you just leave the line at 7? Would you move it down? Would you move it up? Do you think the Texans are more or less likely to win and cover on Sunday now that Drake May has started?
If there's one thing markets hate, whether they be financial or betting, it's uncertainty. Correct. So with Drake May, there's a little bit of uncertainty there, and yet he's a rookie quarterback. The Texans versus Caleb Williams, a rookie quarterback, really put him into a tizzy, obviously. And Drake May can run and escape. I don't think he's like Caleb Williams, but I bet I would adjust it up. Boy, I know it's hard to move past 7 points. I would adjust it to 8.
You would? It's 7 still right now.
It's still 7.
Probably for the same trepidation you had, which is
trepidation.
Move it to 7.
You just don't know. Think about Will Levis last year. Remember after Will Levis's first start? Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, CJ's got competition for rookie of the year.
Yeah, right.
Oh, goodness. Because you just don't know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You have no foundation for expectation when it comes to, okay, are they going to come out aggressively? Are they going to play it safe? What plays do they like with Drake May versus Jacoby? And it's really hard to prepare for.
Yeah, and rookie QBs have been pretty good so far this year, as we were talking about yesterday. The three guys that have been starters from week one are all above 500 right now. Now, for various reasons, you know, Bo Nix, the Broncos are probably above 500 in spite of Bo Nix, more than because of Bo Nix. They've got a really good defense. Vance Joseph's done a nice job there. Jaden Daniels is the reason why the Washington Commanders are 4-1 right now.
Cliff Kingsbury. Shout out to Cliff
Kingsbury.
I'm a Kingsbury skeptic, but yep. I got to give him his props right now.
They've been dynamite. And then Caleb Williams, I would say it's probably a mixed bag of in spite of and because of with Caleb Williams. They've got a really good defense. They've got him some weapons. And that, to me, that's the big difference. So those three quarterbacks combined are 10-5. And the big difference for me with them versus May, other than they've all three have 5 games of experience under their belt at this point, they've got some weapons. Like Caleb Williams has, for a rookie first overall pick, has a ton of weapons out there with him. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels at least has Terry McLaurin and some other guys out there that are doing some good things. Bo Nix has Cortland Sutton and a couple other guys. New England's got nothing. They have nothing in the wide receiver.
It feels like they haven't progressed beyond Tom Brady's last year there.
Correct.
Where Tom Brady was imploring his wide receivers to run faster when they were genetically limited in that regard. It's like basically, go mutate your genes. Why are you guys so slow? Do something.
Yeah.
Get bit by a radioactive spider or something. Maybe one of those feral cats over there in the Astrodome.
That's it, man. Yeah. That's it.
That was in the Texans game, right? When he was like, faster. You need to run faster.
Yeah, that was the flu game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all like, we can't run faster. We have the flu.
I'm trying.
Just like
trying.
You.
Yeah.
So, I was glad to see this news yesterday. And it's not because Jacoby Brissett has had an inordinate amount of success for a Jacoby Brissett level quarterback against the Houston Texans. It's that I am excited to see a rookie first round pick get fed to the same defense that just made Josh Allen look like a rookie first round pick last week.
Now let me throw a wrinkle at you.
Okay.
D'Amico in the coaches show had told John and Mark, hey, I expect Gerard to keep it really close to the vest, and we probably won't know who the quarterback is maybe until Sunday.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, last year, the Texans were in a situation where everybody just thought that Davis Mills was going to be the starter. They kept it close to the vest, and then when did we find out? Saturday morning,
the case.
Yeah, the case was going to start.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Gerard might be – he might have a trick up his sleeve. Maybe they do throw Jacoby out there.
That would be
– or they have a dual quarterback situation.
That would be so mean. We name him the starter on Tuesday, and then they'll switcheroo back to Jacoby Brissett on Saturday morning.
Listen, you little trick. You're going to
– this is the NFL.
We're going to prop you up there like you're Johnny Football, okay? But then we're going to tear you down like we did Johnny Football. That was a conspiracy by the CIA. Everybody knows it.
You're not in Chapel Hill anymore, Mackie. All right?
Yeah.
Drake May on Sunday against the Texans. Texans will get a crack. Finally, they got Caleb Williams. Probably would have had J.J. McCarthy if he had stayed healthy in week three. They might have been looking at their third rookie quarterback. Instead, they got Darnold.
Thanks a lot, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, we had revitalized him.
I could have still been making Sam Darnold jokes about his fat face or something.
Can't do that.
All of a sudden, his face isn't so punchable, Sean.
It's
amazing how success does that to a man.
It's a weird thing, man.
Something's changed. You're different.
Yeah.
Woman goes to her 20th high school reunion and... Yeah. The nerd owns a Silicon Valley IPO. I don't know. There's something about you that's sophisticated now.
There's just something about this Poindexter that just...
guy's still picking his nose and everything. He just doesn't care about societal conventions. He's a renegade is what he is.
Right. Sloppiness just turned into indifference is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. We're off and running on a Wednesday. We got a lot to get to, man. D'Amico and his coaches show. Nick was on. We've already played you some Casario. CJ was on Pat McAfee. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. CJ is no longer sending direct messages to the fan base. He's just kind of making subtle passive-aggressive messages to the fan base in a good way.
That's a good tease.
In a good way.
Coming up next, CJ insults all of you.
We'll do that at the top of the. We'll do that at the top of the hour. But
oh yeah, you'll have to wait until that until 8 or 7 for that.
We get maximum listenership for that. We got headlines. Yeah. We get to at 6:45. This Robert Saleh firing yesterday.
Oh,
is
my gosh.
As juicy as we anticipated it being, I think. Do we think that Aaron Rodgers' fingerprints are on this? The Jets say no. What do you say? We will have that for you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Seth is giving me some good video editing goals that I need to give myself,
it's fun when old men learn new things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Houston Stressens is good with this too. He's about our age, but he's doing all this. He puts out a boatload of just cool content on X.
He's a really good follow. If you're a Texan fan and you're just looking for somebody to feed you the good stuff.
Yeah,
he feeds
like
you
from
the
interviews
good stuff.
And everything. He's a little bit. He's turned into a little bit of a show prep help for us. So yeah, at Texans commenter on X.
Yes, at Texans commenter. Good guy.
Just a lot of very little consumable chunks of video.
I met Garrett's his name, and I met him for the first time, I don't know, probably a month or so ago. We went and had breakfast over at my spot over there, over at Avalon. And yeah. and I picked up the tab, and he's like, no, you don't have to do that. I'm like, no, I do. I definitely, for this $20 breakfast, you've provided plenty of services for me. The least I can do is buy your omelet for you, sir. Yeah. So
if you were Bill Belichick, you would have never told him that. You would have kept him on a. You would have said like, oh, you work for me for the next 3 years, and then we'll see if you deserve compensation.
That's it. Casario's nodding his head right now. That's exactly what happens in New England.
It is. Yeah. It is. He would take the craziest story about Belichick, and this is where you know sometimes the great coaches are also kind of sociopaths. Is he would give people pay cuts to test their loyalty. Like, do you really want to be here? If you really want it, you'll stay for less money.
Can you imagine?
Well, the thing is that you can get away with that stuff when you're brilliant. The problem was that guys would try to copy his tactics while not possessing nearly the same level of genius, and it blows up in their faces, Matt Patricia.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. That's a perfect example. All right, this Robert Saleh firing from yesterday is I would say on my anticipated juiciness scale for this on 1 to 10, this thing is a solid 8.5.
We got conspiracy theories, we've got owners pleading withholding out players. There's a lot here.
It's some good stuff. So here's the newsy part of it. We all know this happened during the show yesterday during the 9 o'clock hour. Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, fired by Jets owner Woody Johnson. In what was called a stunning and unprecedented move, Robert Saleh fired. They promoted Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, to interim head coach. So this is the first in-season coaching change that the Jets have made in Johnson's 25 years of ownership, which I would say is fairly significant because, by and large, during Johnson's ownership, they've been a horrible football team. So that this is the first time it's happened in-season is at the very least an amazing coincidence. He said, Johnson, that he consulted with general manager Joe Douglas, but called it, quote, my decision and mine alone. Woody Johnson and his brother Christopher Johnson, the vice chairman, broke the news to Saleh in his office at the team facility. Saleh was shocked, according to sources. He was escorted to his car by the director of security in what was described as, quote, protocol. So he did the perp walk out the building, man. Like he...
Yeah.
That's how I choose to envision it.
I know. That's where I'm torn on this one. Like almost by virtue of describing it, even though it's true, it feels like I don't know if that's responsible, the way they reported that. Like if that is standard protocol and they do it with everybody. Because in your mind, your mind immediately goes to like, oh my gosh, they had to escort him out.
Right. Boy, was he pulling a Jerry Maguire? Who's coming with me? We're gonna go start our own football team. Who's coming with me? Okay, so that's the news part of it. The juicier parts of it are one. Woody Johnson claims Aaron Rodgers had nothing to do with this. Aaron Rodgers found out just like everybody else did on Tuesday morning.
That's above my pay scale.
Yes.
He's going to go full LeBron on this, right?
Yes. Now, to me, the juiciest part that I heard yesterday was that Robert Saleh had a staff meeting in which he told the staff that Nathaniel Hackett, noted boob, was going to get...
Noted boob and yet most favored person by Aaron Rodgers.
I got theories on that. But at any rate, Nathaniel Hackett was going to get his play calling duties ripped. Wasn't going to get fired, but was basically going to get demoted and kind of test whether or not he wanted to stick around, that kind of thing. And that Todd Downing would be promoted to play caller, former Titans assistant coach. So that happens. Saleh has this meeting, and then he gets called into the owner's office, and he's the one that gets fired. That's juicy.
That's juicy.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, the Jets for where they are right now, and somebody had a stat yesterday basically just showing when a coach gets fired this early in the season, usually it's a really bad Urban Meyer type of situation.
One time they've made the playoffs, and it was when the Raiders in 2021 promoted Bisaccia, the special teams coach, when they had to fire Gruden because of those emails.
Yeah.
That's the only time.
Oh, so when a team that was as competitive as this won
when a team...
My point was that as far as the quality of the team at this point in the season, usually it's way worse. DVOA, the Jets are way better right now than the typical team where a coach gets fired, or it's because the team is just so decrepit and hopeless and lost. That's not quite the situation with the Jets right now, especially the defense is still the Jets defense.
Defense is really good. Yeah, sorry, I jumped in. I got so excited. The one I was reciting was there's only one team, and I think this is significant for the Texans because they play the Jets in 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks, whatever it is. That only one team, I think, since like 2000 or something, like in a long time, has fired their coach in season and gone on to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
and it was that Raiders team. That's where I thought you were going with that. That's a great point. They're not a bad football team. They're not a good football team, but they're not a bad football team. They're a football team that's probably average, that's lost a couple games that they had a real chance to win. Like losing that Denver game 10-9 at home a couple weeks ago, if you had to pick a game that got Robert Saleh fired, it's probably that one where they lost 10-9. Greg Zuerlein misses a field goal that would have won the game. Like, he makes that field goal, Robert Saleh might still be the head coach.
If you look at like ESPN power rankings right now, they're 21st in the power rankings.
They're mediocre.
They're mediocre, which usually to get fired this early in the season, you're bad, it's really bad, and it's going to stay bad the entire
year.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off right now.
Yeah.
They're not the Panthers, they're not the Patriots, they're not any of these teams that are at the very bottom of the league right now.
And the side of the football that Robert Saleh is responsible for, like the side that he comes from, that side at least is buttoned down right now. You know, they're like first in everything since he got there as head coach.
I mean, the fact that just multiple different people were coming out with this story at the same time, as far as the timing of everything, that it was after Nathaniel Hackett had been demoted. It's that it's a team that's competitive, not good, but not bottom of the barrel NFL team. That makes the most sense. If you connect those dots, whether Aaron Rodgers was specifically involved in this decision or not, it's hard not to believe that Aaron Rodgers' feelings about it weren't taken into account by the owner.
Now,
or about like how the owner anticipated how it might go.
One of the other theories that's out there is that losing the London game was a big deal to the Johnsons, because one of them, either Woody or Christopher...
Woody was the ambassador to Ireland or England? I think it was to Ireland, wasn't it?
To the UK. You're thinking of the Rooneys. The Rooneys.
Oh, the Rooneys. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So I apologize. I don't know which Johnson brother was an ambassador.
Okay. Yeah. So one of them was an ambassador. Was an ambassador to the UK. Has a lot of highfalutin friends. Eric Mangini pointed this out on Fox yesterday on Nick Wright's show on First Things First. Here was Mangini used to be in the building. He was one of these head coaches over the last 25 years that got fired after the season, not during the season. This was Mangini yesterday. And actually, in retro, so they're kind of laughing at the points he's making. This is before this past weekend. But here was Mangini, who's been in the building as a head coach.
This is an absolute must-win. And here's why. Woody Johnson, the 66th ambassador to the UK. All of his buddies are going to be over there. And after the game, when he's eating tea and crumpets, he's going to be talking about his team and how successful they are. Now, not only that, you've got the former first-round draft pick of the New York Jets playing against you and playing really well, and you've got a 40-year-old quarterback. And then, for Aaron Rodgers, if he wants to be able to go and talk to Woody about Davante Adams, you better go do some good things and make him happy.
Ooh.
You win the game. Wow. You walk in after to the box. You meet all of his friends. Hey, what about Davante, Woody?
All right, there you go. So so three-prong there, but the first one is an interesting one. Like, you embarrassed me in front of my British friends.
That was before the game. I could imagine, though, like, people really ran with this yesterday. I don't know, man. let's remember that, yes, there are a bunch of NFL fans in the UK. I'm just skeptical that his ambassadorship cronies, and it was Robert Wood, the other brother, or Robert Johnson, the other brother, you're right, not Woody, that was so embarrassed by them losing 23-17, where they actually, at least came back from a big deficit early on, that was what sparked it versus any kind of actual drama with Aaron Rodgers and everybody else.
I think it's a possibility that that Woody Johnson could be, and I think it was Woody, he said in that cut that was the ambassador, that Mangini said Woody was the...
Robert was the ambassador. Okay, whatever.
Maybe there's the same guy. Maybe Woody's his nickname. Whatever the case.
Yeah.
It could very well be that whichever Johnson was embarrassed was embarrassed by it, but the ambassador cronies just don't give a crap about it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that he was embarrassed by it.
No, yeah, exactly. They wouldn't. I'm not buying that for a second. Yeah, okay. It is Robert Woody Johnson.
Thank you.
What a stupid name for a billionaire.
Okay.
Just go die.
They're the
Woody
same
Johnson.
Person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good.
So
Aaron Rodgers would kill him.
Yes.
Give him some of that Johnson. Aaron's mind, it would be to give him all of his Johnson & Johnson.
Aaron Rodgers' McAfee appearance today becomes must-watch, I would say, right?
I can't.
Do you think McAfee asks him the hard questions about how this all came down?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to bring it up, right?
Do you think he talks to Aaron before the appearance and says, hey, we're gonna ask you about this, and this?
He probably texts him. Yeah, something you want me to stay away from.
Those aren't real
whatever.
Interviews. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And McAfee's not pretending he's a journalist or something.
No.
You know, he's chatting with a buddy.
Yeah.
I think he'll broach the topic and he'll let Aaron Rodgers say whatever he wants to say. Sometimes, though, Aaron Rodgers, when trying to sound diplomatic, actually does the opposite. Like, he'll say that people need to keep everything in-house, but then start to basically blame his teammates for those teammates blaming teammates publicly. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a chance that they try to handle it diplomatically, but that he dishes without realizing he's dishing.
Text message, why would they fire Saleh if he barely had a chance to work with Rodgers? It's a great question. You know,
this has been 100%. This has always felt like Saleh is kind of just going to have to ride the wave of Aaron Rodgers no matter which way it takes him. And the whole thing, it's a very valid question. Why would they do that? But that's been the question from the get-go, including, for those of you who don't know, Nathaniel Hackett was hired by the Jets seemingly most likely as an enticement to Aaron Rodgers, because that's the same reason Nathaniel Hackett, really with no qualifications to be the actual head coach of the Broncos, got hired by the Broncos seemingly as an enticement to Aaron Rodgers when they were trying to trade for Aaron Rodgers. So nobody knows or understands Nathaniel Hackett's appeal. He was an absolute abomination in terms of game management and other things when he was in Denver. His offense in New York looks like something out of the past. They do a lot of really simple, basic stuff and haven't advanced with the times. So nobody can figure it out. It's like when you've got Brandy and I have a friend who we think is like one of the most best people in the world. But this friend of ours, he's got a friend who, it's just super weird that these two are really tight. And people wonder, like, why is this guy friends with this guy? That's Nathaniel Hackett with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Like, what is Nathaniel Hackett's appeal to Aaron Rodgers that he's so devoted to him? It's really weird.
Keep in mind, this is also the team that still has Hassan Reddick sitting on a back burner holding out. They traded draft picks for Hassan Reddick, who's holding out for a contract.
Woody had a message for him yesterday.
He did?
Yesterday. He said, Hassan, get in your car, drive down I-95 and come to the New York Jets. We can meet you and give you an escort right in the building, and you'll fit right in, and you're going to love it here, and you're going to feel welcome, and you're going to accomplish great things with us.
He literally said this on a conference call yesterday?
He said this Tuesday on a conference call with reporters, yes.
It's week six, dude. Like, that might have been a good speech back in July to give the guy.
Reddick had been in the building before, right?
Briefly.
I think he was like during the offseason program for a little bit, and then he left for minicamp.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Took us long enough to figure out that Robert and Woody were the same person.
Same person, yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So the Robert Saleh firing, I think good news for the Texans. I think this is a team in complete disarray right now. By the way, Bobby Slowick, fourth on the odds board to become the New York Jets' next head coach. So the Texans' pedestrian offense has not dulled the odds makers' enthusiasm for Bobby Slowick, head coach. Yeah, so there's that. All right, let's get to headlines. Texans welcome back a couple familiar faces yesterday as they get ready for week six. There is other news around the NFL as well. We've got some baseball scores for you. Whole lot more coming up in headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Texans. They will be facing a rookie quarterback making his first start. Third overall pick, Drake May. New England Patriots rookie is going to get his first start in his NFL career on Sunday. He's replacing Jacoby Brissett, who not only skippered the Patriots to a 1-4 start, but their offense has been terrible. They're averaging about 12 points a game. Don't know how much better it'll be with Drake May, but I'm excited, Seth, to watch a D'Amico Ryans defense make a rookie look really, really frightened for 60 minutes on Sunday.
That's the, you know, the fun thing about the defense this year, Sean, is that they've been blitzing way more than D'Amico Ryans ever has in his time as a defensive coordinator. Going back to his first couple years in San Francisco and then last year with the Texans, they were always 22nd or lower in terms of their blitz rate, mm-hmm. how often they blitz. This year, they're up at 13th or something. They've blitzed a lot more, and part of it is just simply they've got cornerbacks that they trust in man coverage and defensive backs that they trust in man coverage. So, especially, you look at the Bills game last week. Okay, Josh Allen doesn't get sacked a bunch, but he was under pressure and didn't have options downfield and made some sketchy decisions at times. Yeah. Really should have had, I mean, two easy interceptions. Obviously, they were back-to-back plays, so there only would have been one of them. The week before, he threw some potential interceptions, too. Mm-hmm. But, this as much as I get nervous about facing rookie quarterbacks because of the unknown part of it, it could turn into kind of like the Bears game, a real blitz-heavy day where you just get after him and make him as miserable as possible. Because the Patriots do not have receivers that can't be covered man downfield by this defensive back.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. They welcomed back a couple familiar faces yesterday, the Texans did. Kadar Holman, cornerback, signed off of the Ravens practice squad, I believe. Tegan Quatoriano signed off of somebody's practice squad. I don't know who, but Tegan Quatoriano, former fifth-round pick, tight end, who when he's been healthy has actually done some good things, but he just can't stay healthy. He couldn't stay healthy in training camp this year. Remember, he caught a touchdown in the Hall of Fame game, and then he's getting carted off the field, you know, 5 minutes later, you know, so we'll see. But they need a tight. They're thin at the tight end position right now. They've got two. Now they've got three with Tegan Quatoriano back. Knows the playbook, all that other good stuff. So
Yeah. And look, the tight ends, Dalton Schultz specifically, but obviously also Cade Stover, getting them more involved the same way they've been able to get a Ogunbowale involved in the passing game. This is all stuff that's got to evolve because this is the new reality for C.J. Stroud, really for the rest of his career. Teams are going to do exactly what they did to Pat Mahomes, play a whole lot of cover two, and they're going to force you to do some of the boring stuff more often and do it better. And that's where the pressure is on Bobby Slowick, too. You're like, okay, you're not going to, you know, last year you had the benefit of ambushing people in a lot of ways, and teams would play aggressively versus you, and you could take those shots downfield. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to have to spread it out a lot more evenly. So I don't think it necessarily ends up being a whole bunch of Tegan Quatoriano, but maybe here and there. Within a little surprise Brevin Jordan action.
Yeah, maybe. I think you're talking about the long term, and this is what he's going to see for the rest of his career, which I agree with. In the short term, you don't have Nico Collins, so you got to figure out a different way.
Yeah.
Presumably you don't. I mean, we'll get an injury report today. D'Amico didn't sound like a head coach on Monday that planned on having Nico available for the Patriots game.
D'Amico flat out said it's a couple of weeks.
Right.
And then it's week to week after that. Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe he was saying that casually is like, it might be a couple of weeks. I just took it at face value there as well.
I don't even know that I want Nico to play in this game if it's a hamstring, you know?
I want his hamstring to feel awesome for a full week before he plays
you
again.
You can win this game without Nico Collins. You know, that's the thing. I don't want to diminish any NFL team any given Sunday. Blah, blah, blah.
No. Like, even if they were going against the best team in the league, because it's a hamstring, right now, if I had to choose, I want Joe Mixon back.
Yeah.
Because Joe Mixon can really help with combating cover two and all of that.
Yep.
But also, then you get to keep Nico healthy, get him completely refreshed and everything. I think Joe Mixon could have a bigger impact on this game than if you got Nico Collins back, but no Joe Mixon.
British Brooks to the IR. I was sad to see that yesterday. He's a good story. He banged up his knee in that win over the Bills on Sunday.
Yeah, that's with fullback, because I look at him as a fullback. Mm-hmm. It takes a while to learn how to play fullback. It's hard, and we've seen that over the last couple of years. Troy Harrison and Andrew Beck would do some nice things, but man, there were a lot of times where you could see you got to make a lot of decisions really, really fast at a really fast closing speed, mm-hmm. because you're running as fast as you can. The linebacker who's filling the hole is running as fast as he can, or the safety, and it's not so simple. So maybe it's a year for British Brooks to watch film, get that down, and then be a nouveau modern age fullback next year.
I hope so. It's a really good story. Someone's asking how long is Brevin Jordan out. He's out for the season. He tore his ACL. So that's why the necessity to bring Kitoriano back. So we'll see today what the injury report looks like for the Texans. They're back at practice today. DeMeco will meet with the media this afternoon, as will C.J. Stroud. We'll hear from C.J. at the top of the hour. He was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Had some really, really good stuff with McAfee yesterday. News around the NFL, Robert Saleh fired by the Jets yesterday. We dug heavy into that in the previous segment. Jeff Ulrich, the defensive coordinator, promoted to interim head coach. Going to be very interesting to see. We touched on the whole Nathaniel Hackett was about to get demoted, get his play calling duties ripped by Saleh. I don't know. I haven't heard anything, Seth, as to what Ulrich's decision is going to be with Hackett. Like, does this erase the decision that Saleh made? Like, are we back to square one, you know?
Yeah, I saw one report that Ulrich was planning on doing the same thing, but I don't know whether this will be an evolving situation. This will be
the smoking gun as to how much Aaron Rodgers had to do with the firing of Robert Saleh. If the story is true that Robert Saleh had informed his staff that he was going to be demoting Nathaniel Hackett, the OC, taking away his play calling duties and giving them to Todd Downing, another offensive assistant, if that decision gets reversed and Hackett is calling plays on Sunday, then Aaron Rodgers was all over the firing of Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
Whereas if Hackett is still demoted, then I'm willing to listen to Aaron Rodgers maybe not being quite as involved as people think he is. As of right now, it's hard to believe he wasn't involved at all in this, right? Rodgers?
I don't know. And I feel weird because it's one of those things where you connect the dots and it all makes sense, and yet without somebody actually reporting that, oh yeah, this is what Aaron Rodgers wanted or didn't. It's not fair to just assume that Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes this is what happens on football teams, Sean. Sometimes, because this happened to me once, where somebody made a personnel move, basically on my behalf, because told me afterwards, like, hey, listen, just so you know, just because we know that you didn't get along with this guy, we got rid of him. And I'm like, I wish you'd never told me that. Like, they'd never consulted me about it or anything.
Yeah.
It was just that, but there it was. All of a sudden.
I didn't want him whacked. We killed him Richie.
Somebody had said, like, oh, yeah, that was because of Seth Payne. I guess it would be true, except that I had zero knowledge of it. Had never talked to this person about the player, and it just...
That sucks.
I mean, we'd had a couple of public, guy and I had a couple of public, disagreements. Mm-hmm. So they kind of did it on my behalf as well as others. This player they got rid of was just not popular with a lot of people, but this, I don't know. I wish the guy had never told me that.
Hey, a couple other news items here real quick. Derek Carr.
I'm just pissed off.
He's pissed off today because he injured his oblique in the loss to the Chiefs on Monday. He's going to be out a while. I don't know. Does this mean we get a look at Spencer Rattler in New Orleans? That'd be kind of fun. He was doing some things in the preseason. I don't know who the official backup is in New Orleans, but I just know that this was a team 2 weeks in that was the toast of the league. Remember that? They destroyed the Cowboys, and they destroyed the Panthers, and they were scoring 40 points a game. They were 2-0. Now they're 2-3. Their quarterback's hurt, and their coach is right back near the top of the odds board to get canned. The next coach canned, Dennis Allen. So there's that. Baseball, real quick, and then we got to jump out. National League playoffs yesterday. Good news. Padres beat the Dodgers. I don't know. I think most Astro fans probably rooting for the Padres there against the Dodgers. We hate the Dodgers. They're up 2-1 in their NLDS series. The Mets beat the Phillies 7-2. They are up 2-1 in their series in the NLDS. All four divisional series play today. So you get Tigers, Guardians, and Yankees, Royals today, as well as those two National League series. So if you're a baseball fan, this is your day. All right, those are your headlines. Up next, C.J. Stroud. He keeps banging the drum, man. He's got a message for you Texan fans. He reiterated it again, subtly and in a very kind way, on the McAfee show yesterday. We've got that for you coming up next.